السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه ومن استن بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد، وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وذروا ما بقي من الربا إن كنتم مؤمنين، فإن لم تفعلوا فأذنوا بحرب من الله ورسوله، وإن تبتم فلكم رؤوس أموالكم لا تظلمون ولا تظلمون. صدق الله العظيم. All praise and all thanks is only due to Allah Ta'ala, who has again given us the opportunity to gather in the house of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala and to listen to a little while on the talk or listen to the talks of Deen. So today's topic, inshallah, is something that I thought is very important and something that's affecting us very on a very broad scale, and something that is very common. And sometimes we realize it, sometimes we don't realize it. But inshallah, as we go through a few ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we realize that how serious the matter is and how little importance we give it, and how little we try or how little we understand the gravity of the situation. And this got to do with interest, something that is plaguing our community and something that is getting far and much more widespread than we think it is. This is the plague of interest. One hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said, إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّنَّ وَالْحَرَامَ بَيِّنَّ وَبَيْنَهُمَا أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ لَا يَعْلَمُهُنَّ كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ فَمَنِ اتَّقَى الشُّبُهَاتِ فَقَدْ إِسْتَبْرَأَ لِدِينِهِ وَعِرْضِهِ وَمَنْ وَقَعَ فِي الشُّبُهَاتِ وَقَعَ فِي الْحَرَامِ. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam has given us a broad principle, a very easy policy to adopt. And if we bring this policy in our lives, then many things will become clear, especially in a situation, in an era which we are in, that things are becoming more and more unclear. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us a simple hadith with a simple principle, but it has a very broad effect. So what Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam is telling us here, he's telling us that halal is very, very clear. Haram, on the other hand, is very clear. But Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam is saying that between the two, وَبَيْنَهُمَا, between the clear halal and the clear haram, there are some doubtful areas, confusing areas, grey areas. Now what must you do when you are faced with a situation where there is a grey area? Our understanding, sometimes we may say there's two views. Now what do we do? One view says it's permissible, another view says it's impermissible. Automatically that falls into a grey area. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us, what do you do when you're faced with a grey area? You're not sure that is it okay, it's not okay, someone saying it's okay, someone saying it's not okay. Remember, you got on one side clear halal, one side clear haram. There's a big grey area now that's suddenly forming. And in this time of fitna and fasad, you'll find the grey area will be increasing and increasing and increasing. What should we do? This is the guideline that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving us. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam is saying, لا يعلمهن كثير من الناس. Many people don't know. Many people don't know. It's getting confusing. What's happening? We don't know. What is right? What is wrong? How do we, as laymen, how do we address the situation? Forget laymen. Even ulama sometimes are confused what to do. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, فَمَنِ اتَّقَ الشُّبُهَاتِ فَقَدْ إِسْتَبْرَأَ لِدِينِهِ وَعِرْضِهِ. That person who stays away from that grey area, he comes out. Leave it out. There's a doubt, we stay out. This is the policy that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us, do. There's a grey area, you stay out of it completely. In other words, move completely to the halal. Leave the grey area out. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, if you do that, if you adopt this policy of leaving the grey area out, then that person, istabra'a li deenihi wa irdihi, that person will save his deen and he'll save his respect. Two things he'll save. He'll save his deen and he'll save his respect just by moving out of the grey area in going and going to the clear area that is halal. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sounds a warning. وَمَنْ وَقَعَ فِي الشُّبُهَاتِ وَقَعَ فِي الْحَرَامِ. That person who decides he wants to stay in the grey area, those things that are not clear, he says he wants to delve in it, he wants to stay in it, he wants to enjoy those things that are in the grey area. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sounding a warning. وَمَنْ وَقَعَ فِي الشُّبُهَاتِ وَقَعَ فِي الْحَرَامِ. That person who indulges, the person who stays in the grey area, he's eventually going to fall into haram. That's where he's going to end up. He's going to end up in haram. The person who came out, he saved his deen, he saved his respect. The man who decided he wanted to stay in the grey area, he'll end up going in the haram. So what's happening now, Allah Ta'ala save us, is there something that's becoming more and more common, is hilas, is loopholes that we find in the deen to try and make things that were not permissible, permissible, and many of us innocent people are falling, becoming duped in thinking that it is permissible. So in one avenue that's happening in a big scale is the avenue of interest. Something that we knew was completely haram. A man knew that if I had to borrow money from the bank and my repayments are more, my installments are more than the amount I borrowed, automatically he'll know that he's doing haram. He's borrowed on interest. So it wasn't a concept. A person would know that he took a bond. It was something that he'd make tawbah for. It's something that ulama would advise, don't get involved in. But now so easily funds are being made available in the name of Sharia compliancy, in the name of being permissible. A man is still paying more. And that interest repayment is almost the same as what he would have paid if he'd taken out a normal bond. But now he's thinking that it is permissible. He's thinking that it's okay, that element of tawbah is already gone from his life, thinking that it is permissible. And remember, to make things that are impermissible permissible is very easy. I'll just give you two examples for our understanding purposes. And the reason why I'm saying this is nowadays we look around and we'll find that why so many good watertight investments? Why so many good watertight business partnerships? Why so many good watertight prosperous or things that were promising that will give us good returns, that will yield good returns, something that we would get into, something that other people will get into, suddenly you'll find there's an implosion and so much money is missing, you can't even understand, you can't even fathom where it is gone. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِ الصَّدَقَاتِ, that this sifat, this quality of riba, of interest is such that it will destroy your wealth. And it will destroy your wealth in such a way, like an implosion. You don't know where the thing is gone. So many times you review financials and you speak to people that investments are looking promising, that there is no chance of this investment collapsing, but suddenly there's a huge hole there that can't be made up. What happened? Simple. Just look. A person has to look through and go through it. He'll see that there's some element of riba there. And this is a common thing. It's something that we don't even take it as a scourge. And yet riba is something that's so serious. In that ayat of Quran, Allah Ta'ala mentions, فَإِلَّمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأْذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, that if you don't desist from interest, then take an announcement of war from Allah Ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Can you imagine if you take an announcement of war from NATO, how scared we'll get? If there's an announcement of war from the major countries of the world, how scared we'll get? Here it is not an announcement of war from the major countries. Take an announcement of war from Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. How serious is that? As the Shaykh Zakaria rahmatullahi mentions, that after scanning all the different ahadith, I only found this such a strict warning of a person taking an announcement of war from Allah Ta'ala only in two situations. He said one situation is this, and the other is where a person interferes with a wali of Allah, interferes with a friend of Allah, then Allah Ta'ala himself takes it upon himself to now interfere or take care of that person. So this is something that is very serious. Just to go through a few hadiths to explain to us how serious interest is. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, la'ana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam akila riba wa mukilahu wa shahidehi wa qala hum sawa. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's saying this? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala curse the person that consumes interest. Curse the person that's supplying the interest. It doesn't matter who he is. The fact that he's supplying, he's a financial institution or not a financial institution. He's an individual who's got a lot of money or he doesn't, or he's a person that is getting funds and then he's distributed. Doesn't matter who he is. May Allah Ta'ala curse the person that is consuming interest, the person that's supplying interest. Wa shahidehi, those two people that are witnessing this whole interest transaction. Wa qalahum sawa. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, then these are people are all equal. The person that you might be thinking that the person consuming is the wrong person. The person that's supplying, the person that's witnessing, they're all helping each other in this interest function. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, may Allah Ta'ala's curse be upon them. All of them are the same. Another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, الربا سبعون حوبا أيسرها أن ينكح الرجل أمه. That riba, this concept of riba, we'll explain it just now. It has 70 different categories. It has 70 different levels. What it means to unduly, unfairly, to take something that is not due, to take unfair benefit, this is riba. To take unfair benefit, it has 70 different categories, and the lowest category of taking undue unfair benefit is where a person, a man, makes zina on his mother. That's impermissible benefit he's taking. That's the lowest category of riba. Yet we would look down upon that. We'll see a man has committed zina with his mother. Who will accept that? Who will tolerate it? Nobody will tolerate it. The person will be outcast from society. Society won't accept him. But that is the lowest form of riba. Most people, Allah Ta'ala save us, Allah Ta'ala protect us. Many of us are involved in a much higher level of riba, and yet nobody looks down at it. A person doesn't feel bad about it. When a person is walking into a riba institute, when a person is meeting people or dignitaries that are seen as executives of the riba institute, we don't feel it any harm, we don't feel it bad, we don't have a pain in our heart that this is something so serious. It is even worse than a man committing zina with his mother. Another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, dirham riban ya'kuluhu ar-rajul wa huwa ya'lamu ashadd min 36 zinyatan. That a person taking one dirham is not a gold coin, it's a silver coin, it's something that's of low value. A person taking one dirham of interest, he's taking one dirham of interest, something that is petty. Yet this person knows, he's consuming it, yet he knows that it is interest. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, is worse than committing zina 36 times. Not one time, 36 times. We all think zina is bad. We know it's bad, it is bad. And yet a person will make tawbah that, oh Allah, I'm involved in zina, oh Allah Ta'ala, save me, what a serious crime I've did. But the person is getting involved in interest, thousands, sometimes billions. How many of us are thinking that this is a serious thing? And look how serious it is. Yet a person is taking an announcement of war. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is warning us. And in another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us how common it will become. It will become so common interest that you won't even forget people not even considering it as evil or bad. Every person will be affected by it, whether a person knows it or he doesn't know it. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions in hadith, la ya'tiyanna 'ala an-nasi zamanun la yabqa ahadun illa akil ar-riba fa in lam ya'kuluhu asabahu min ghubarihi. La yabqa ahadun illa akal ar-riba fa in lam ya'kuluhu asabahu min ghubarihi. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that a time will come in this ummah that there won't remain one person that won't be consuming interest. And if he doesn't consume the actual interest, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the smoke of interest will get him. You know, like sometimes you're at a braai, and a person is near the smoke. He's not getting the fire itself, he's not getting the flames, but just the fact that he's around there, that smoke or the smell of it, the traces of it come onto his kurta. Like that, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, the traces of interest will get every person. That time is coming. And now we're seeing how common it's becoming. I'll just give you an example of how easy it is to make something haram, how to suddenly twist and change. Remember historically, from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there were two systems. There was one as an Islamic system where we had our trade, our bay, we had our ijara, our leasing, we had something known as shirkats, different types of partnership. We had something known as a qard, as a loan. And this qard loan was something that was always something that was voluntary, it was something that was gratuitous, it was something that was a act of benevolence. It was never ever something, a qard, a loan, was never ever something where you took a benefit from. Actually, it was a benefit to the person that you're giving it to. Here's a loan. If anything, Sharia will tell you that reduce the loan. Make it easy for the debtor. You make it easy for the debtor, Allah Ta'ala will make it easy for you. It was something that a person would always reduce. It was never ever in the history of Islam where a person now wants to take money, extort money from a person who is in need of money. This was the system of the Yahud. This was the system of the Jews. They would lend money at high interest rates. They were a community that was involved in usury. It wasn't something that a Muslim ever got involved in. It was always an act of benevolence. As time is going and going and going, now you got these two systems. The system of the Yahud lending on interest. Now Allah Ta'ala save us. Even a Muslim now saying that I got money, let us make money by lending money. It was not something we ever did. It was something that a person did, he knew it was wrong. But now how do you marry the two? So now in the very, very, very recent times, there are new forms that are coming out. I'll just give you a few examples, then you'll understand. And these in Sharia we know as hilas, where you've got to make an hila and say, okay, you can lend money, but let us marry that contract. Let us do a hybrid contract. That money you're lending, let us lend it in the form of a lease.
Let us lend it in the form of a mudaraba. Let us lend it in the form of a musharaka. So in other words, you'll still get your returns, but we'll go round the block and you'll get the return. The return you won by lending money, and now we're just calling it Sharia compliant. It's something that's very, very dangerous. Allah Ta'ala save us. It is indeed in the grey area that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is talking about in that hadith. I'll just give you one example, then you'll understand how easy it is to make something that everyone knew was haram, how easy it is to make it halal. In the UAE at the moment, there's something known as a Sharia compliant lottery. Sharia compliant lottery. If anyone tells us, get involved in a lottery, what you think? Haram. Astaghfirullah. How can we play lotto? This is gambling. But how now, what they did was they got a Sharia committee, Sharia advisory committee, come in and see, this is a national lottery. There are huge amounts to be made. There are millions, billions to be made. How do we make it permissible? So they said, very easy. We'll just marry that lottery contract with a trade contract. I'll explain to you what is meant. Marry it with a trade contract, and something that was known to be haram, we can now make it halal. This was an old trick and an old game that the Bani Israel were playing. Then what would happen? No time to go into the details, but what would happen? Allah Ta'ala made it such as a test for them, that the fish for this community, there was a community that was staying on a coastal town, it's a fishing community, they were told that you don't do any trade, any business on Saturday. But for this community now, they say their business was fishing. So what Allah Ta'ala made is such, the fish would come so clear at the shore. It would come, you could actually scoop up the fish. Clearly you could see it. So much of fish would come on a Saturday, and every other day no fish would come. So now they said, okay, it's haram for us. It's not allowed in our Shariat to do fishing on a Saturday, but yet the fish are all there. It's so nice. We can see it. We can scoop it up. We can just take it. It gets stuck even in the rocks, in the ponds. The small water holes that come, the fish are getting stuck there. It's so easy for us, but other days we can't get it. Let us do one scheme to work around the law of Allah Ta'ala. So what scheme they did, they put the nets in on Friday, they pulled the nets out on Sunday, and they said to themselves, we're not fishing on Saturday. That was the game they played with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. They made a hila, they went round the block, something that's becoming so common today. And then Allah Ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ أَنْجَيْنَا الَّذِينَ يَنْهُونَ عَنِ السُّوءِ وَأَخَذْنَا الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا بِعَذَابٍ بَئِيسٍ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْسُقُونَ. That those people that were warning them, don't play these tricks with Allah Ta'ala. These are tricks. Don't play. Allah Ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا أَنْجَيْنَا الَّذِينَ يَنْهُونَ. Those people that were warning them, we saved them. And those people that continued in this interest or continued in this haram loopholes of fishing, the way they were doing it, Allah Ta'ala gave them a very destructive, painful punishment. So anyway, I'm just explaining about the one in the UAE. Now, calling a Sharia committee, it sounds nice. The name sounds nice. So good. There's a Sharia committee here, something that we know that is haram. They made it halal. What did they do? So they like a credit card. You know, you get a credit card, a plastic card, something that we use as a bank card. So what they did, a card, it's a lotto card. So now what they did, every quarter we're going to print 8 cards. Every quarter we're going to print 8 cards. And what we're going to do is we're going to put some picture of some iconic building on the card. Now what happens by doing this is, because every quarter you're printing a new card with a new picture, it becomes now a collector's item. A lottery card now has become a collector's item. The cost of a plastic card may be half a dirham. But what we're doing is we're selling this card for 35 dirhams. And the more cards you buy, the bigger chance you got of winning the lottery. So now how this became Sharia compliant is, okay, you're not buying or you're not paying money into the lottery, you're buying one plastic card. So you are doing a bay, you're doing a trade. Like how I come to buy a pen, I can buy this pen from you. There's no problem. So now when you buy that card, lottery card, it entitles you to a raffle. And if your number comes out in the raffle, you win. And according to the number that you win, obviously, that's how much you get. So the different levels of lottery you get. As I mentioned, if all your numbers come out, you get a very high amount. And lower numbers come out, you get a lesser amount. But what? How they made it permissible? Now they're calling this an iconic card. Something that was completely haram. Just went around the block and calling a plastic card an iconic card. You're paying 35 dirhams. That is entitling you to a raffle. Like how when you go to a supermarket and you're buying groceries, you put your slip into that box and you raffle and you can win something. You're saying it's just like that. You're buying these lotto cards. It is a normal bay, a normal purchase and sale that is taking place. So what is haram about it? So something that was completely haram, one small hila, one small trick, made it halal, and now it became Sharia compliant. People are thinking that it's permissible to play the lotto. Can you imagine what games are we playing with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala? I'll give you another example. I lend you 100,000 rand. I lend you 100,000 rand. And everyone knows, if you pay me 1 cent more than 100,000, then what happens? That is interest. Now, I want to make money. I got a lot of money. I want to make money. I want to lend you 100,000, but I want to get 120,000 back. How am I going to get it? It's haram. It's impermissible. I can't take 120,000 back. So when I'm lending you that 100,000, I tell you, listen, I'm selling you this pen here for 20,000. What I'm doing? I'm selling you this pen for 20,000. So you're taking that 100,000, alhamdulillah, and you're taking my pen for 20,000. When you repay me, how much you repay me? 120. Something that was completely haram. We just did one trick. We married it to a bay contract. We married it to some other contract. And we made something that was haram, halal. The receiver of revenue won't accept these tricks. You think Allah Ta'ala will accept these tricks? And respected friends, this is what is happening. We suddenly think an institute that was haram all along, we knew that the banks were haram, we knew that we couldn't take money from them. Suddenly out of the blue, one Sharia division opened up and we think now all this has become halal. Ask ourselves, if we got to look and study the way it's working, it's nothing but going around the block. It's hard to speak about these things, but these are the things that are affecting us. When looting becomes common, when floods become common, when investments suddenly start collapsing, communities start suffering, when plagues come out, then we have to introspect and see what are we doing wrong. Are we playing games with Allah Ta'ala, or are we doing things and we don't even consider these things to be impermissible. Some things that are so serious in Sharia. And yet our seniors and our elders were very particular that every cent that we consume must be halal. I'll just give you a few incidents. And we think that interest is something that's playing. I'll give you one incident, one story, inshallah. I'll just give you a few and we'll terminate. Inshallah, in about 10, 15 minutes, we'll terminate. Just to understand how serious this is. There was one person in the 80s and 90s. Allah Ta'ala had blessed him in his business. But not everyone can just buy a building cash. So what he would do in the CBD, he would see one building is for sale, he'll want to buy it. He'll approach the bank and he'll get a loan. So his family would tell him that, listen, interest is something you don't play with. Don't get involved in interest. You are declaring, Allah Ta'ala, you are playing games with Allah Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala declares war with the person that is getting involved in interest. You know what his answer would be? He said, this is the time we are living in. This is the century that we are living in. You have to live with the times. You can't be doing business and not getting involved in interest. And the total opposite is true. Those people that clear their businesses of doubtful things, those people that clear their businesses of interest, Allah Ta'ala give them so much. There's a friend of mine, he mentioned to me that I just cleared my business of all doubtful things. Whatever was doubtful, sometimes a rep would come to me, he'll tell me I can give you this product at this price, but I need a small kickback. I thought to myself, this is not right. How can I give him a kickback when he's working for a company? That's not permissible. I said, no, I'll pay the higher price for the products, but I'll cut out the kickbacks. He says, I saw by clearing my business of doubtful things, Allah Ta'ala had caused my income to multiply tenfold. Tenfold. So Allah Ta'ala won't take anything away from you if you give. It is what you give away that enriches you day by day. Allah Ta'ala gives a person more when a person is careful. So anyway, this person was telling, we have to get ourselves involved in interest. We're buying a building. We have to approach the bank. What do you mean? You people are living outdated. What are you talking? So he purchased one building for 1 million. And after 2-3 years, that one property went to 3 million. And after a while, it went to 10 million. And at one stage, it went to 11 million. And now he'd boast. Like that, he'd buy a few properties. Interest. All of them are buying on interest. And so proud he was that he'd walk around with a suitcase of title deeds. That all my title deeds are in here, I own so many properties. And he's proud that there's my title deeds and feeling so bloated of himself. Remember, when Allah Ta'ala declares war with you, you're not going to see one Scud missile suddenly coming from the sky hitting you, one atom bomb hitting you. The way it hits a person, it hits him, it finishes him from inside. He doesn't even realize it. Sometimes there's marital problems, sometimes it's a problem with a daughter-in-law, sometimes his own children he's got problems, sometimes it's medical problems, sometimes it's a problem with the staff, sometimes it's court cases. But this war goes on in a different form. So anyway, this person, what happened was, he was boasting and gloating. A time came when Allah Ta'ala had given him 2 daughters. This incident I'm mentioning, I won't mention which city this person is from. I'm just mentioning the incident so we can understand. One daughter went onto drugs, completely on the streets, onto drugs. Other daughter, there was a call, one alim phoned me up. He says, please, come urgently, I'm at the attorney's office. I need you to come urgently, urgently. So I'm thinking, what is so urgent to come to the attorney's office at this time? Anyway, I went there. What happened? Daughter is one side. Other daughter. Now one daughter is on the street. Other daughter is sitting here. Attorney is sitting one side, father is there. Alim is sitting there. He said, the problem we're having here is I'm trying to reconcile between this daughter and father. The daughter wants to take the father to court. We are scared the izzat of the family may go. We're trying to do some type of reconciliation between the two. We need your assistance. Can you imagine? Two daughters. One is on the street, other one wants to take him to court. The man is saying that, you know, interest we have to get involved in. Then a short while after that, he comes to the office crying. Crying, same person, he comes crying. And he say, tells in front of myself, that my father, Allah Ta'ala, reward him. So this person comes crying and he says, that I want to tell you something. At the end of the day, if this is the end result of wealth, wealth is a lanat, it's not a ni'mat. He's saying this. So this is Allah Ta'ala, you don't play games with interest. Is such a thing, it will finish you up, it will devour you up. It's something that is very, very dangerous. This morning one brother was mentioning to me, very close to Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahab, Rahmatullahi Alayh. He said once we were invited, I was with Hazrat Maulana also, to one masjid for Jummah Salah. So Hazrat Maulana Yunus Sahab performed the Jummah Salah. And after Salah, we went upstairs to the house of the Imam. The Imam invited us for lunch. So we went there. So Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahab was very close with that alim. He had a close taluk with him. He could speak to him. So he mentioned that I'm feeling for some cold water. Hazrat mentioned, I'm feeling for some cold water. So that alim whose house it was opened his fridge and he saw that there was no bottles of cold water in the fridge. So what he did was he told his son, you see downstairs in the masjid, there's a water cooler there. So take this glass, go fill up water in the glass and bring it up for Hazrat. So when Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahab saw this, he asked that youngster, where are you going? He said, I'm going down to the masjid. So he said, no, don't do this. So he told the father and he told the youngster, don't do this. The water in the masjid are for the musallis of the masjid. They're not for the visitors of your house. The water in the masjid is for the musallis of the masjid. They're not. For, who would have ever thought any problem with that? How careful these people were that something that is not due to us, how can I take it? Something that is impermissible, something that Allah Ta'ala, yet technically it would have been permissible. Technically it would have been permissible. But yet the level of refinement was such that they didn't want to take any added advantage where it was not due to them. So then he mentions to me that on one instance we had come back from a safar, from a journey, and Hazrat Maulana said, let's read namaz in the masjid, in the Ashwal masjid. It was after the time of Isha, we had come back late. So he said, let us read namaz in the masjid. So we stopped at the masjid, the muazzin opened the masjid, put the lights on, we made wuzu, we read our salah. After salah, he took out 100 or 200 rand from his pocket. He told me, please put this in the box. So then he tells me, Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahab, the sati of his, is saying, he tells me, that you know why I'm taking this 100 or 200 rand and I'm putting it in the box? Is because that lights of the masjid and the water of the masjid are to be used at the masjid time, to be used at salah time. We came out of the salah time and we used it. So the right thing for us to do at this time is to take money and put it in a box for using the lights out of the salah time. Can you imagine what level of honesty, what level of refinement? When we have this in our lives, then we'll see barakat. Then investments won't just disappear like that. Then things won't just crash. We won't see this looting around us happening just like that. We need to look at what is happening. Recently one brother came to the masjid, our masjid, to meet me. He comes often for some advice and to meet, whatever. So he comes and tells me that I've got one worry, one concern, something is worrying me. What's worrying you? He said, my mother passed away recently and my mother was owing somebody. It was a few hundred thousand rand, if I remember correctly. That my mother was owing this person and she passed away. So I've taken it upon myself to go and pay this person the money that was owing to him. He wasn't a wealthy person, but this is what you call honesty. When a person has got honesty in him, remember honesty is a quality that Allah loves. يَوْمَ يَنْفَعُ الصَّادِقِينَ صِدْقُهُمْ The day will come that the honesty of a person will help him. What will help him? His honesty will help him on the day of Qiyamah. So anyway, he said, I wanted to settle this debt of my mother. So I approached the person that my mother was owing, and I told him that, you know what, I want to pay. So he gave me the amount according to what he had that my mother was owing. So he just used an example of 100,000 rand. He said, but I did my own calculation and I saw that amount is coming to 200,000 rand. It's not coming to 100,000. Because how much my mother should have been owing him, it comes to 200,000. So I went back to him and I said, my mother is not owing you 100, she's owing you 200,000. He said, no, according to my record, it's 100,000 and I'm only going to take 100,000. So what he came to ask me, what must I do? The person is honest, Allahu Akbar. Look at that, what must I do? I feel I should be paying him 200,000, but he don't want to take 200,000, he only wants to take 100,000. And I want to settle the debt of my mother. So I said, okay, do it this way. Enter into some kind of settlement agreement with this person. That according to my calculation, it is 200,000. You are only claiming 100,000. Whatever is in excess of 100,000, you are hereby waiving it. Get him to sign it and get somebody to, or two people to witness it, so you know that it's settled. He's waiving whatever is additional. So in that way, you'll be happy that you did the offer of the full amount. In that way, he'll be happy he got what he wanted and the additional was waived. So he did that. He did the contract. He brought it. I just checked it up for him. He went and he met the brother with that amount. He said, "Here's the amount my mother was owing you." He said, "Are you happy?" The person said, "I'm happy." He said, "If you still want, I can still give you the 200. He said, "No, I don't want it." So then he goes. He tells me, I went from there. I folded that agreement up. I put it in my pocket. I went from there to my mother's qabr and I made dua to Allah Ta'ala. I said, "Oh Allah, inform my mother that I paid the debt that was upon her." And this is what you call honesty. When these sifat come into our lives, in our businesses, then you'll find that everything will become smooth, everything will become easy. There'll be avenues, even you'll be looking, where should I give so much of barakat Allah Ta'ala is giving me? Not that things will just be collapsing. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to bring these few qualities in our life, being very careful. This thing that I mentioned about interest and being careful, just falling for the name Sharia division, we must be very careful. Imagine if, I'll give you one example, South African breweries. They open up one Sharia division there and say, invest your money here, you'll get so much of return. They got a Sharia board. Will any one of us invest in South African breweries? If South African piggeries, they open up a Sharia division, we won't invest in it. So yet we must be careful. Interest is something that got much, much more warning than wine also, got much, much more warning than piggery also, in swine also. But yet we are so comfortable investing. Let us be very careful where we put our money. As time goes, you'll suddenly find the things that were known to be haram suddenly will have a Sharia flavor. And many of our people are getting involved unknowingly. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. May Allah ta'ala protect us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq of bringing honesty in our lives. May Allah ta'ala, one thing I forgot to mention is that when we want to correct ourselves, ensure that we correct our line with Allah ta'ala and we correct our line with people. Collect ourselves with Allah Ta'ala, those qazas that we got outstanding, we should fulfill it. One person mentioned recently that I decided to correct my line with Allah Ta'ala and people, that whatever was doubtful, people that even, I didn't really owe them the money, but because they had some claim, I said, let me just give it. I started doing that. Anything that was doubtful, I cleared my line with the people, I cleared my line with Allah. One day came in when I was doing this, I did 60 qaza salah in one day. 60. He said, my feet were paining. But after I finished clearing that line with Allah Ta'ala and clearing my line with people, he said, I feel as though I'm walking or this Jannat. I feel as though I'm in Jannat. As though I'm already in Jannat, there's such happiness I'm feeling, such enjoyment I'm feeling just by doing this. So some other thing that we need to do is keep in mind is our zakat. Very important to get our dealings right, get our zakat right. Ensure that your zakat is paid. I get so happy when I see some people say that even if it's 200, 300, 400 million more you need to bring in our zakat calculation, bring it. We're happy to pay. If it is what we have to pay, we'll pay it. For the sake of Allah, we are happy to pay it. Other thing we got to do is we should ask for forgiveness in this, especially before in these Mubarak nights. We know tonight is also an odd night, the 27th night, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that I was coming out to tell you which night is the night of Qadr, but because of the dispute of two people, this knowledge was withheld, showing us how serious it is to have disputes. So we should ask for forgiveness, ask for maaf. The other thing we should be very, very important is that when we're getting involved in any contracts, whether it's an employment contract, partnership contract, very important, write it down, reduce it to writing, be very clear what the terms of the contract are. Very often in business nowadays you find that they are verbal contracts, and when disputes arise, then where's the contract, where's the agreements, nobody knows. Even the non-Muslim judges also, they get a shock that how one person just tells another person we're entering into contract, the second party says Bismillah, and suddenly that contract is there, multi-millions, until there's a dispute and comes to court, where's the contract, where's the agreements? He just said Bismillah and we went into a partnership. It doesn't work like that. We've got to be very careful. We reduce it to writing. Other thing is be very careful of our estate matters. Get our estate matters in order. Very often, very common nowadays, is disputes in estates that are happening. If we can sort it out before with our will, keep our will properly known, this is exactly what my will is, let the children know about it. Try and sort out what we can sort out in our life. The zamana is gone where suddenly there's muhabbat amongst the children and the heirs, where they can sort everything out themselves. Help them, even if it costs you transfer duty by transferring properties in your life. You might as well do it. Do it the proper way. Get guidance from the ulama how to do it. But sort it out. It will save many disputes later on. And the other thing is we may have sajda tilawat. We read Quran Sharif. So much of Quran Sharif we read, Allah Ta'ala make it such that we read more Quran Sharif. But many times we make tilawat of sajda tilawat and we just leave it. We don't make the sajda tilawat. We should make it a point of fulfilling all the sajda tilawat, outstanding salah, outstanding zakat. All these things we should clear before we meet Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. May Allah Ta'ala give me, give you, give us all the tawfiq of making amal. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله ولك الخلق كله ولك الملك كله على نيته وسره لك الحمد على نعمة الإيمان ولك الحمد على نعمة الإسلام ولك الحمد على نعمة القرآن لك الحمد على نعمة الزوجات لك الحمد على نعمة الأولاد لك الحمد على نعمك الكثيرة وآلائك الجتيمة لك الحمد على أن جعلتنا من خير أمة أخرجت للناس ولك الحمد حتى ترضى ولك الحمد إذا رضيت ولك الحمد بعد الرضا اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك وأغننا بفضلك عمن سواك اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك ويا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك وصلى الله على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.